This is Persuasion in Business, hosted by me, Dr. Mindy Weinstein. I'm a marketing researcher, the author of The Power of Scarcity, a professor, and a marketer myself. In this podcast, you'll discover practical tools based on psychology you can use to improve your business, sales, and career today. In this episode of Persuasion in Business, I'm going to get into the psychology of trust and credibility, including what that means to you and your business. How do you build your online reputation and credibility? Well, today I have your answer. This episode of Persuasion in Business is a little different than past episodes. I am giving a glimpse into the type of content that you would find in my book, The Power of Scarcity. As powerful as scarcity might be, if the person, marketer, or business alerting you to the scarcity condition isn't credible, you have a problem. During one of my classes at the university, I asked my college students a simple question. Have you ever been influenced to buy a product from a brand you didn't know after seeing an ad on Instagram? The question was one I'd asked before, and it was meant to really spur the discussion about the power of social media marketing and how brands are fighting for our attention. One student, Stacy, immediately raised her hand. She went on to describe a situation in which she had seen an ad while scrolling through her Instagram feed that featured an image of a woman in a cute dress with a caption that said, "Flash sale, everything 20% off today only." Stacy said that she didn't recognize the website, but she was excited. 20% off everything, of course that's going to catch your attention. And the fact that the clock was ticking, the sale was for today only. So Stacy proceeded to shop on the website and to fill her online shopping cart. Even with the 20% off, Stacy had managed to add about $100 of merchandise into her shopping cart. As a college student, $100 is a significant amount of money. Even for a non-college student, this is a lot of money to spend. She had already gone through the steps of the purchase process and was about to hit the final button to complete her order when she stopped. She started to think about what she was doing. The impulse to take advantage of the limited time offer caused her to skip the step she would normally take when she was unfamiliar with a particular website or brand. And that step is researching the company online. So she opened another tab on her web browser and started to search for reviews about this company. To her surprise, they were all negative. Consumers complained about the quality of the clothes, that they looked nothing like the pictures, and that the customer service was very poor. There were even some reviews that complained about the slow shipping. So despite what was promised on the e-commerce site, it didn't seem like that was the reality. There might have been a great discount, but Stacy decided not to move ahead with her purchase. What happened here was credibility related. Stacy might have been enticed by the offer. It caught her attention. It caused her to click on the website. But our behaviors as online shoppers, especially now, we're going to do our research. We want to know the reputation of a company or the credibility of someone we're going to hire. Let me get into some of the psychological principles. And really the main factors that I'm going to be looking at are those that affect credibility, which are trustworthiness, expertise, and attractiveness. I have spent many years in marketing. And over the last 20 years, I've seen over and over again the importance of ensuring that your source is viewed as credible to your target audience. Because for a marketing message to be effective, we have to find the source credible. So when I say source, that could be a business, a marketer, a salesperson, a celebrity, or someone else. But we have to believe that person's message, and the only way we're going to believe it is if we view them as credible. And really, one of the best definitions of source credibility comes from a group of marketing professors who defined it as the extent to which a source is perceived as possessing expertise relevant to the communication topic and can be trusted to give an objective opinion on the subject. In this definition, expertise refers to the source's knowledge on the subject. Trustworthiness refers to the believability of the source, meaning do we perceive them as being honest? To put it simply, if we want someone to accept our message, we need to be viewed as credible. Expertise and trustworthiness are major components of credibility, but there is also another factor, which is attractiveness. A source is considered attractive to the extent the source is familiar or likable or even similar to us. In many cases, when an expert communicates a message, we actually turn off our brains, meaning we offload the burden of the decision-making process to that expert. It's a mental shortcut. And our brains are always looking for mental shortcuts because there is a lot of information that we're processing on a daily basis. We stop thinking for ourselves and will wholeheartedly rely on the expert. This might seem hard to believe, but it was the conclusion of a neurological study. During that study, participants were presented with a series of financial choices. With some choices, advice from a financial expert was provided, while in others, no advice was given at all. When the participants viewed the choices that included expert advice, they stopped considering the options and blindly followed the expert's advice. In fact, the expert's advice significantly influenced the participants' behavior. Now, these weren't simple decisions, such as where to eat dinner, although sometimes that's really hard too to decide. These were financial decisions that had a level of risk involved. Yet, instead of evaluating the options available, the participants trusted the expert and offloaded that decision-making task. From a practical perspective, businesses need to consider the source when using a marketing-type message. And they really need to think about that source and how that source is going to influence others. Will the message's source be viewed as knowledgeable about that product or service? In other words, a business must be certain if the person, brand, or retailer broadcasting the message would be considered knowledgeable about the product and therefore credible in the eyes of consumers. I'm going to give you an example. And this was actually an example that came from a research study. Imagine that you are exposed to a persuasive message about the importance of a balanced diet. You were told that the message came from a Nobel Prize-winning biologist. The message would be credible, right? It might even change your mind about your own eating habits. Now imagine that instead of the Nobel Prize winner being the source, a cook at the local fast food chain was the source. Would the message be as persuasive? According to the research, more than likely you would be persuaded by the message when you thought it came from the Nobel Prize-winning biologist. When a spokesperson or business releases a message, if they are viewed as having a high level of expertise that is relevant, the chances of changing the minds of consumers goes up. We are less critical of a message coming from an expert, and we are likelier to accept what we're told. If we immediately perceive the source as an expert, we'll likely buy the product. The important word here is perceive. Even perceived expertise can cause sales to go up. When Bill Cosby played the role of Dr. Huxtable in The Cosby Show, he was viewed as a caring father and pediatrician. On a side note, I know I'm bringing up Bill Cosby, and obviously there is a lot of negative associated with him, but this example shows what I'm talking about in terms of perceived expertise. So let me start over. When Bill Cosby played the role of Dr. Huxtable in The Cosby Show, he was viewed as a caring father and pediatrician. Consequently, he was viewed as an expert in children's diets. Cosby was hired to appear in advertisements for Jell-O, which led to increased sales of the gelatin dessert. However, the results were not nearly as good when Cosby was hired to endorse a brokerage firm. He lacked perceived expertise in financial matters. What's interesting is that he wasn't an expert on either, children's food or finances, yet the perception is what made the difference. When sources are not viewed as experts, as shown in the example I just mentioned with Bill Cosby and the previous one about the Nobel Prize-winning biologist versus the local fast food cook, the persuasiveness of the message fizzles out. Let me give you a scenario, and we'll put this into action. Let's say you're in the market for a new refrigerator. You're at the appliance store looking at the options, and a salesperson approaches. She explains that most people are buying this new KitchenAid side by side, and there's only one left. Prior to hearing that statement, you may have had little interest in KitchenAid or that particular refrigerator model. But because the salesperson connected the brand to what others were buying, you are now going to seriously consider it, especially since the quantity is low. The salesperson acted as the source, and you subconsciously or consciously viewed her as the expert. One study investigated the concept of expert power and found that a mere one exposure to the combination of an expert and an object results in a long-lasting positive attitude towards that object. It even has a positive impact on our memory. The research group came to this conclusion after witnessing the brain activity of participants using MRI scans. Viewing messages from experts actually disrupted brain activity. I'm going to repeat that to let it sink in. Viewing messages from experts actually disrupted brain activity. That's how much of an influence the source makes. A salesperson can effectively use this idea to show his or her expertise. For example, a real estate agent might make the claim that he purposely limits the number of clients he takes, but might have an opening available. You might not accept a statement like this at face value. Instead, you'll probably research that agent first. You might conduct an online search of his name or view his LinkedIn profile to see if the agent is indeed an expert. The information you find must support the real estate agent's perceived expertise, whether that means he posts informative content on LinkedIn or maintains a blog. All of those things will help improve how you view that agent as an expert or not. I'm going to get into a little bit more on this idea in just a few minutes and going to give you very practical information on how you can implement this entire idea of building source credibility, whether it's a store that you run, a restaurant, or services that you provide. Experts don't necessarily have to be just businesses or salespeople. Experts can also be customers, and this would fall into the category of people like me. They are customers that you perceive to be similar to you, whether in interests, demographics, or some other characteristics. Many online companies couple this people like me mentality with persuasive messages. Net-a-Porter is an example. So Net-a-Porter is an online luxury fashion retailer, and they display a banner of products other shoppers are buying and putting into their shopping carts in real time. Customers can see what people in other countries are buying, which provides a sense of credibility and trust. Etsy does the same thing. So Etsy is an online marketplace that consists of custom-made products. They show how many other shoppers have the same item as you in their shopping carts. Again, this leads to a feeling of credibility and reassurance in the product you are considering purchasing. The people like me mentality can go both ways. If you research reviews of a product or company and find that other people do not have a favorable opinion, just like the example I gave you earlier with Stacy, you most likely will choose to not make that purchase. And this leads to an important consideration in source and brand credibility. I want to give you some very practical and tactical steps that you can take to make sure that you are showcasing your credibility. And this is especially tied to any type of online research that a customer might be doing. So let me first ask you a question, which is going to then lead into the tips I'm about to give you. What appears in the search engine results when someone Googles your business name or your name? What about your products? When was the last time you checked your search results of really you? There are some things that you can do to really showcase your expertise and to build that trust. So all the things that we've been talking about, there are steps to take. Now, one of the first ones that I'm going to start with is related to social media. And this one is huge. You need to make sure that you've optimized your social media profiles. And this applies to business profiles. It also applies to individual profiles. If you are a salesperson or a consultant of some type and you know that customers are going to be looking you up. Let me start with LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is what I mentioned when I was talking about the real estate agent. So for any of you who are in a consultant role or a salesperson, or you know that customers are going to look you up personally, you really need to spend some time on your LinkedIn profile. In fact, this is so important that every year at the university, I hold a LinkedIn workshop for students, because this is where so many people go to look up the professional reputation of someone. So when it comes to LinkedIn, it works very much like search engines work, so similar to Google, which means that when people are looking up, let's say, a service provider in their area, they want to hire a real estate agent, but they want to go to LinkedIn first because they want to see the connections and who they might know, or a connection of a connection. Well, when you go to LinkedIn and you start doing those searches, it's driven by keywords. So in the example I just gave you, if you are in real estate, you need to make sure that it's very clear in the headline of your LinkedIn profile. It should say real estate agent, and you should make sure that you've selected the location in which you reside. So if you're in Los Angeles, you need to have your location picked. If you're in Denver, wherever you might be, because that's going to make a difference in how you are showing up when someone is searching for you locally. But there's some other things. So I'm going to spend some time on LinkedIn, then I'll talk about other social profiles, and then we'll continue with some other practical tips. So with LinkedIn, you have to optimize your headline. So that it means putting in those keywords which are really relevant to your job title or just the industry that you're in. Then you have to work on your summary, which is the about section within LinkedIn. Make sure that you have actually filled out completely that summary and make it personable. I prefer to actually use first person when it comes to putting that about information, because it helps someone feel connected with you. So again, think about what someone might be searching on LinkedIn that will get them to you. So it could be that you're going to talk about the different services you provide, or talk about the industries in which you work in. All of these things will really help you show up in front of more potential customers and clients. Of course, you also have to fill out the rest of your profile. So you want to have your experience completely filled out. It's really good to have volunteer work if you've done that, so that shows up in there. But the idea is that you're using the type of words that potential customers would use. So that way, again, when they're on LinkedIn, they go to that search box, you're the one who pops up there. Now I'm talking about a personal or individual profile. The same does apply to a business profile. So on LinkedIn, you do the same thing. You think about what customers might be looking up, and that's in your about section. You use those right words to attract those customers. Let me move on to Facebook. Having a Facebook business page is important, even if you are going after a younger demographic, because it gives you another chance to show up in search results if someone is searching for your brand name. So you want to make sure that you do have a Facebook business page. And similar to what I just said about LinkedIn, you have to also optimize that page. You need to fill in every section that makes sense as you're going through the page. So which definitely means you have the about information, you have your services, you have your location, and you also use those words that customers would if they were searching for you. Those two things are really big. So looking at optimizing your profile with the right words. When you do this with your profiles, what happens then when someone goes to Google and they search your brand name, or search your brand name and then reviews, which is a lot of times what happens, or searches your name because you're a consultant or a salesperson, you're helping build the page of information that they'll see, because those social profiles, they do show up in search results. So it's very important that you're there. Now, still on the social media side, you want to make sure that you're active. And of course, this is going to depend on your audience, on where you're going to spend your time. If your audience trends a little younger, you're going to be probably spending more time on Instagram. You might be on TikTok, depending on, again, who your audience is and also what your products are. But you should also be thinking about producing videos. You should think about all the content that you're putting out there, even including your own website. So if you have a business website, make sure that you are publishing helpful information. So consider adding articles and blog posts on your website on a regular basis. Then you can share those on social media. You do want to also share information that's going to help people feel connected to you or connected to your brand. So for Instagram, you might do some behind the scenes and do different reels like that, so people feel like they're getting a glimpse into who you are as a business or as a professional. Depending on who your audience is, you might also want to be active on Facebook. But hopefully you're noticing a theme. It's to be active and to put information that is helpful to people. Remember, we're talking about credibility. We're talking about expertise, and we're talking about trustworthiness. When you're putting out information and you've set yourself up in a way that people are going to also find you when they're looking for your products or services, you've gone that step to build that credibility. But there's still a couple other things that I want to mention again that are very just practical and tactical. You really need to monitor and encourage reviews. That is huge. You just have to think about your own behavior. Most likely before you go to a restaurant you've never been to before, you're going to look up reviews. Or if you've never purchased that particular product, you're going to look up information on that product first. So from a business lens, you need to think about how can you encourage reviews from your customers. And there are so many ways now to streamline it. You can sign up for, gosh, there's so many different services, but you can sign up for a service that's going to send a text message out to a customer who just visited your store. Or if you're in a, let's say even a medical service, someone just got their teeth cleaned at your dental office. Well, you could send a text to them with a survey, which will take them to a site to help them leave a review. You could also have a page on your website that is all about reviews, and it links to the different review sites that you want to encourage people to go to. You got to make it as easy as possible. Sending out emails encouraging reviews definitely helps. You need to monitor reviews as well, which means that if someone does leave a bad review, instead of getting angry and responding in public, in a public forum where everyone's going to see it, whether that's on Google or Yelp or who knows where, just address their concern, acknowledge it, I should say, and try to take the conversation offline. The last thing you want to do is throw fuel on the fire. It's really important that you try to just, again, acknowledge and address the issue that they had, the complaint, and see if you can have a follow-up call with them, but a conversation that is not online. Those things are really important. Remember, though, that you might have some bad reviews here and there, and that's okay. Not everybody's going to love you. And there actually has even been research showing that 4.9 stars on average is more trusted than 5 stars. Because again, we know that not everyone is going to love everything. Just monitor. That's the biggest thing. So know what's being said and do monitor it. A couple more things. So when it comes to your online presence, if you're a business, and especially if you're a business with a physical location, you want to make sure that you have claimed and are managing your Google My Business listing. And that's free. So if you haven't done it already, I mean, you could just Google My Business and it's going to take you right there. But you need to claim your location. But here's an extra tidbit for you that I feel like a lot of businesses that I talk to just don't even realize that this is an option. Within Google My Business, not only can you encourage reviews and you're going to fill out your about information and your services, you can add pictures, add videos. Most people know that. What people don't know is that they could also add questions and answers to their profile. And this is big because as a business owner or manager, you know, you're adding those questions and answers, but other people are going to also be posting questions, and you need to make sure that you see those questions and you respond. Because the way it's set up is that anybody can ask a question and anybody can answer. So sometimes there's situations where it gets away from you if you're not monitoring that, where someone posts a question and an angry customer goes and gives some crazy answer to it. So here's what I would suggest you do. As you're building up your Google My Business listing, come up with a handful of questions that you know are commonly asked among your customers. Put those questions on there and answer them. So whatever that question that's common, put it out there and put a concise answer to that question. But you need to take one extra step. So for that answer that you posted, you actually need to like it. I know that sounds silly because it's your own question and answer, but doing so will help that answer show up in your Google My Business listing. But in addition to doing that, just continue to go back on a regular basis and see what people are asking and make sure you are the one that gives them the answers that they need. And finally, my last very tactical and practical tip for you is on your website, whether it's business or personal, make sure you have a bio or profile page. And that page should, of course, give information about you. It gives people a more personal sense of who you are. And even if it's you're selling products, people want to know who's part of the executive team or the management team. When you do that, there's some other things you can do. So as you are adding that information on your business profile page on your website, make sure you have your image included. And this is just like a little extra thing for you, a little hint. When you upload that image to your page on your website, title the image your name. So for me, my image would be mindy-weinstein.jpg. Here's what happens. So now if someone searches my name, my image is going to show up because I've named it that way. So it's going to show up in Google Images, and most likely it's also going to show up on the main search result page. You also need to have what's referred to as an alt description for that image. And that's really designed for people who are using screen readers so that when they scroll over that image, that technology will read the description that you inputted for that image. So if it's a picture of you, the alt description again should be your name. So for me, if it's mindy-weinstein.jpg, that's my image file. Well, my alt description is going to be Mindy Weinstein. So that also helps me show up in search results. But you could do the same thing with products. So any images that you're adding to your website of products or branded images, do the same thing. The reason that you're doing this is it really goes back to that question I posed just a little bit ago. What appears in search results when someone Googles you? Doing that with the images is going to help you control what's showing up and to give people more information and take them to the right place. All of these things that I've just mentioned to you are designed to really build up source credibility. That way, when you are putting out any type of marketing message or you're talking to a potential customer or client, people feel that they can trust you because you are the expert. They've gone online, they've done their due diligence, and they like what they see. And then they hire you, then they buy from you, and then you have these great customers. Well, now you know how to build your online reputation and credibility. Join us in the next episode as we continue to talk about persuasion in business. Be sure to visit the Persuasion in Business Forum and share your thoughts and ideas regarding credibility and trust and how you build that. Visit persuasionnextsteps.com. I would also love it if you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform and follow me on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter.